of strength. And I've been so convicted over the last months in my own life that I need to get back to a real place of prayer. And that's what happened this morning. I want to pick up on some of the things Pastor Tom has been dealing with the last few weeks when he talked about John's gospel and the high priestly prayer that Jesus gave, and how important prayer was to Jesus. And my feeling was, if prayer is important to Jesus, it should be important to me. It should be important to us. And so it's probably some things I'm sharing with you this morning that are not new, that are not earth-shattering, they're not wild, but I think that are just what God wants from us. I tend to believe whatever He has me preach, He puts me through things, that when I'm sharing, it comes to the fact that it's where I need to meet God, and that He could use that place of meeting Him that I can meet with you with what He has shared with me. And my feeling is, I joked with the kids this morning, they're not joking, that God calls. And we sometimes forget that God is a God who's alive. God is a God who speaks. He sometimes speaks in a still, small voice, Scripture says. But we need to listen. And the less time we listen, the voice gets farther and farther away. And we can't live with yesterday's voice and yesterday's spirit. We need to live with God's spirit today. We need to hear God's voice today. I need to get up in the morning and hear God speak to me today, because I can't make it without Him speaking to me. And so that's the heart that I am coming from this morning, that I really felt very strongly. Jane was sharing with me a quote from Philip Yancey in his book on prayer, "Does It Make a Difference?" And Yancey writes this: "If prayer stands in the place where God and human beings meet, that I must learn about prayer. Most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes: why God doesn't act the way we want God to, and why I don't act the way God wants me to. Prayer is the precise point where those themes come together. Prayer is that focal point where I understand God's in charge, God's working, and I need to trust Him. And then I need to respond to what He wants from me. There is that power of prayer. So it appears to me in Scripture, prayer is such a vital link to God. It's a vital link for you and I to our power, to our strength, to our love, to our joy. Without prayer, we dry up. We focus on the Word, we talk about the Word, but if you don't pray, that Word does not come alive. You need to be living in the power of prayer. I need to be learning to live in the power of prayer. It appears from Scripture Jesus knew how important the power of prayer was. It tells us in the Gospel of Mark, that verse 35, it says this: "Early, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to his holy place where he prayed. Disciples came and tried to find him." He said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I need to pray. I need to be out with my Father. I need what? To be recharged, re-energized, refilled. I need to be with my Father." I thought, if God, the Son, needed to be with His Father in prayer, what does it say about my life? Jesus was the perfect person, part of the Godhead, fully God, fully man. But what did He do? Pray. He said, "I need to pray." So that was kind of focus that I felt so strongly that God wants that in our lives. I thought, as Pastor Tom preached the last couple of weeks on prayer, the Lord confirmed to me, this is really where you want us to be. If we want revival in this church, prayer has to be a bottom line in our lives. If we want revival in our own lives, prayer must be there. There can be no fire unless there is the breath of the Spirit. The breath of the Spirit comes from God in prayer. And we need to stay in that place. And so as I began feeling this way, God has pummeled me, has beaten me down, saying, "Bill, I need you to talk to me. I need you to speak to me. I need you to listen to me, because you do not have the strength on your own." And I think that's where God has pulled me, pushing me, directing me. So that is a way of getting our attention. Not just by a cell phone, but He has a way of getting your attention. He smacks you in the face saying, "Do you have the joy anymore? Do you get up and believe that I'm going to do something great in your life today? Do you really believe that I am going to make a way when there is no way? Do you really still believe that? Do you really believe that I can speak to you, direct you, and guide you for people in your life today that I brought? Do you believe that I can give you words to speak that transform people's lives? Well, you used to, Lord. He said that. He said, well, maybe it's time to get back on your knees. It's time to get in prayer class and seek my face. As Chronicles says, well, if we seek his face in prayer and turn from our wicked ways, he will hear from heaven. And what will he do? Pour out a blessing. Simple words. Prayer. The power of prayer. And I think getting to the scriptures to it is that God says we need to do this. Family of plan was told Timothy. So God has put us here. God has put this, a year and a half ago over that, our church burned out. We formed a whole bunch of committees. We had the steering committee, the building committee, the insurance committee, but we also had a prayer committee, building for eternity. And they came to Jane and said, Jane, would you be willing to run this prayer committee? I go, okay, I'm not sure, but we'll go ahead and do the prayer thing. And it's been a 3 week, year and a half, we've been meeting every other week. And here's my confession. There are some Monday nights and Tuesday nights when we do it, that I'm like, I am tired. I've worked all day, I'm worn out. I don't want to do this. How can you come? Lord, it's, And I said, okay, Lord, no, we said, we do this. And every single time we spend that hour in prayer, when everybody else leaves, the prayer warriors, I kept observing Jane and go, I feel better. I feel good. I feel positive. Why? Because I spent time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords with people who believed in him. And saying like, duh. Don't you understand, Bill? That's really what it's all about. Praying. So, just let you know, that's part of the other issues going on. That I know sometimes I think, Lord, I'm too busy. Lord, I haven't got time. Lord, I'll get to it. And God said, you can't get to it. You need to do it now. We're to pray without ceasing. Constant prayer. Do I do that? No. Do I want to do it? Yes. Do I want that power? Yes. Do I want that joy? Yes. Do I want to believe in miracles? Yes. But they all have to come not from me, not from building up faith, but from one who lives inside of me and allowing him to go through. And that's where I come to our scripture text from the Gospel of Luke. We heard the prayer of Psalms, so one through by class. It says there in verse 1, one day Jesus was praying. Oh, one day he was praying? Okay, gotcha. In a certain place, when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. This is John taught his disciples. Lord, teach us to pray. Didn't the disciples pray? They had Jewish prayers. They were Jewish people. They went to the temple. They prayed. But there was nothing seemingly there. It was ritualistic. There was no power. There was no energy. Somehow they saw something in Jesus and his prayer saying, Lord, teach us to pray. And I think in most cases I stand here this morning, they're saying, you're preaching to the choir. We know we should pray. We know we should be on our knees. We know that. And I think those who are Bible-believing Christians all know that. Lord, prayer is something to do. But do we do it? Do we do it? And I sense in this first section of the idea is that the disciples had a plea. It was a desperate plea. Jesus, teach us to pray. Actually, we see something different in you. We have a desperation. Please help us to pray. Please show us to pray. And sometimes we need to get to that point where it's a plea from our heart. And if we have that plea from our heart, we realize we didn't need a position of what should our position be in prayer. And then if we have that right position and we have that plea, we will find the power of prayer. And once you find the power of prayer, you will find a peace that passes all understanding. And you'll be amazed as you go through life because there is going to be a peace that surrounds you, infills you, and confounds people around you saying, you should be upset, you should be worried, you should be anxious. And you're saying, yep, God's got under control. He's in charge, not me. I give it up. came this morning, and I'm still giving it back up to him, because he's in charge. So the idea is this: Lord, I want this to happen. I want it all to go. So the first thing is this plea. Jesus, teach us to pray. There was a great preacher, scholar, Howard Hendricks. Some great books I read years ago. And I love what he said here. He said, several years ago, I was at a message at the pastor's conference. He said, I want you to think about this. He said, if you open your Bible and you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read every part of the Gospels, there is nowhere in the Gospel where the disciples say, teach us to witness. There's no place that says, teach us to do miracles. Not there. Teach us to be humble. Not there. The only place they come out and say, please teach us, is prayer. Will you teach us to pray? They kind of recognize if you're doing miracles, you need prayer. You're going to walk the walk, you need prayer. If you want the power to change life, you need prayer. And so the idea is that none of those stuff works unless I have prayer. And so the baseline for the disciples was, can you teach us to pray? And so it's an interesting thing about that. And how's it going to be? If nowhere else the disciples say, teach us, guide us, direct us, tell us about it. Another thing that Professor Hendrick said was this: can you imagine what life with Jesus Christ was like? During his ministry on earth, one amazing experience after another. You think you're walking with Jesus. He goes along and is a man dead 4 days, and he says, come forth, and this guy comes out alive. Whoa! A guy comes along, he's blind, he goes, he sees! Person full of leprosy. Jesus touches him, leprosy, he's gone. Man, I don't know about you, maybe not like me, but I'd be overwhelmed. I'd be, whoa. Who is this guy? They came to realize this is the Son of God. This is God. God incarnate. That's important. They recognized he was God. But then they said he's God. We believe he's God. We believe he's the Messiah. But you know, is that enough? Good. Teach us to pray. We see all this stuff here. But for some reason we're seeing all that stuff comes through prayer. Whenever Jesus went to do anything, he prayed. Before he did it. Before he raised Lazarus from death. He prayed, and then he went there, and then he spoke out loud in John chapter 11, saying, Father, thank you for hearing me. And responding and going to raise Lazarus. He said, I'm only saying that so everybody else knows that it's not me. Because Jesus says in John 15 and John 14, the Son of Man can do nothing in himself. Everything you see me do, I do by the will and the power of the Father and the Spirit. And the more I thought about how important the Trinity is in our lives, we recognize that we need to have a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We need to get a hold of the Father, and we come to the Father through the Son. We are brought into adoption according to Romans chapter 8, that we now have the ability to say, Abba, Father. That's what comes to our Father prayer. Abba, Father. Why? Because Jesus put us in a place of relationship. He says, now you have this power, because now you can go right to the Father in relationship. And you can ask anything in my name. But what you're going to do is has to come through the power of the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus talked a lot about the fact that when you see me casting out demons, it's by what? The power of the Spirit. Don't look at me. My power comes from him. He says, without the Father, I can do nothing. I thought, maybe you're God. What greater example of prayer than fully God, fully man, saying, you don't understand. For me to do what I'm doing, I need complete communication with my Father all the time as I walk in human flesh. My strength, my power is there. Think about what he was mentioning to people. He'd all of a sudden stop and say, we need to leave. And he'd leave, and what did he leave? He left to go to a solitary place to pray, to be charged back up again, to be strengthened again, because virtue and power and anointing was going out of him. And that's really what prayer is about for you and I. The idea is that we live in this world which is filled with sin, evil, horrible things that sap your strength. And when you say, Lord, I have a plea in my heart, teach me to pray.
I need to learn how to pray. I need to get back to the prayer. I need to get there with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. So when Jesus was here, life on earth for Jesus was everything. So his attitude was the fact that he wants us to have a plea for prayer. Let's get hunger for prayer. Say, the Holy Spirit, give me a hunger to pray. Wake me up when you need me. Call me tonight, like you did Samuel. Wake me up. Get me praying. Get me on my knees. Help me to do that, Lord. And the key is that he said you have to have that hunger, that desire, that saying, I don't like the way my life's going. There is no power. There is no joy. There is no strength. The love is not there. There is nothing that I need. I am so anxious and worried. I need your power. I need your peace. The good thing is, go to your prayer closet. Seek my face. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. So the first thing is, Jesus is praying. Have a hunger for prayer. Secondly, we need to have the position of prayer, which I believe he comes on when he says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The idea is, what's our position? I am totally dependent on God. My position must always be, without him, I can do nothing. The same way that Jesus said about the Father's power is you and I as believers today have got to come to a point saying my position is of utter dependence on God. That's my position. I will sin, I will lie, I will cheat, I will fall apart when I stop depending on the Lord. I may think I'm good enough, I may think I'm smart enough, I may think I have quote-unquote moral character, but I am a sinner, saved only by grace. My ability to do anything right is all about my dependence on his blood, on his grace, on his strength, on his power. As Pastor Tom talked a little bit about the vine and branches, as John knows about it, that Jesus said, he's the vine, what a branch. I mean, I can water the leaves, but unless that vine is sucking up from, that branch sucking up from the vine, there's not going to be any life left in that. And I think the same way I felt like, yeah, I watch flowers, so I can water the tops of them sometimes, and think, okay, and also later day. Because I'm going to get some water into the roots. I need to get deep down. And the Lord reminded me, that's you and me. You can't depend on the little dribbles on Sunday morning giving you enough to keep you going. You can get your roots down deep, like Psalm 1 said, into the Lord, bringing his strength of total, absolute dependence. And I think Jesus wanted to make sure that you understand something and say, I'm God, yes. But you realize my power here on earth is based on this total dependency on my Father. Not my will, but his will. I want to find out what he wants me to do. Even when I find myself struggling in the garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. What he was praying. The disciples didn't get it. But Jesus got it. And I need to say, Lord, I need to get it. Teach me to pray. Help me understand it's all about my position in Christ. I am free in Christ, but then I am positioned to be totally dependent on Christ. And that's hard for most of us Americans. I don't know about you, but I've always felt like, it's okay, God, I can do this. I can handle this. I can teach this lesson. I can preach the sermon. I can, smile at people. I can be nice to people. Okay, I can do this. No problem. Of course, I don't say it that way. But how many times do I can one thing? I can't listen. And God says, oops. Your attitude should be the same attitude that was in Christ Jesus. He humbled himself, became a servant, totally dependent. You know, you need to be totally dependent on me. Of course, you might have never done that before in your life. You said, it's like the Peter, James, John, Jesus, had died, risen. But they decided, let's go fishing, because we're fishing. They went out in the water, they started fishing. They fished all night. Professional fishermen. In the morning, they had nothing in their nets. And Jesus comes along and says, throw your nets in on that side. You go, look. We know the Sea of Galilee backwards and forwards. We are trained fishermen. We've been doing this all night. There are no fish there. Sorry. He said, don't rush that. They put the nets down, and where did they find? A boat. A fish. Because when they depended on themselves and their expertise,
expertise and their abilities, they fail. When you and I depend on our abilities, we fail. It's when we depend totally, completely on the Lord. So the first thing is you need to have a plea. The second thing is you need to realize, Lord, I need to stay in a place of a servant, dependency, utter dependency. Unless you do this for me, Lord, I will fail today. Unless you give me stability, I will lose it. I need you every moment, moment by moment, Sabbath breath. The power of God begins to flow in you when you give it. I love the fact that Paul says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but it is not I live. I live now by the power of the Son of God. But we can say, Lord, Bill is dead. The life I live by the power of God. But I bet anything charged up to that power. You drain that battery, you're not good for much. Prayer brings you back to the power. So my position is dependence. I please saying, Lord, teach me to pray. I want to pray. Is prayer basically reading the Our Father? No. He said, here's the motivation of prayer. It's all about God first. You read the first parts of it, Our Father, but you have hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be here on earth as it is in heaven. Then you go to our needs. But always start to God first. So your position of total dependency. And it's based on the fact that you are now children of God by the blood of the Lamb that He's now adopted you. We can call Him Abba Father. You come into His position saying, it's not because I'm good, it's not because I'm righteous. I am a sinner. You'll think I'm coming in the name and the power of Jesus Christ. Dad, you're going to listen to me because He bought me to come into your family. You adopted me. I'm part of your children. And you said, now whatever I ask in His name, you'll do. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There is power. It flows when you begin to believe our Father who art in heaven. So the key is position. The key is plea. The key is power. But power literally comes when you allow Him to flow through you. When you say, I can't pray, Jesus promised us that the Holy Spirit would give us the words to pray. The Holy Spirit would guide us. He said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit to lead you in more prayers. So trust Him when you pray. You don't have to pray like Pastor Tom. You don't have to pray like Jimmy Booth. You don't have to pray like Charlie. You don't have to pray like Jane. You pray. Set that in your heart. The most powerful prayers I ever hear are people who pray with simplicity. They don't know all the scriptures sometimes. They know all the words sometimes. But they know our Father. They know the Father. And they know the Father will not give them a stone when they pray for So the Father will take care of their needs because He's a heavenly Father who loves them. And He who gave His only Son for them, how much more will He not give us what we need according to Romans 8? Power in prayer saying, this is not just talking in the air, talking in the wind. I'm talking to an awesome, almighty creator of the universe who says, come into the holies of holies, I've made a way for you to come. Do we do it? Should we do it? Indeed. The power comes. And when the power comes, the peace comes. Because we know in Philippians said, you know, that we are what? Be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried about anything. But everything with prayer and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made to God, made known to God. And the peace that passes all understanding will guard, umpire, and rule your heart. And you'll be able to rejoice. You'll be able to have that joy that Pastor Thomas said. You'll have that fire in your heart and mind. So therefore, have a plea. In the book of 2 Chronicles, there's another section about prayer and incense, where we're told in 2 Chronicles that who had followed an evil, evil king in chapter 29, realized he wanted Israel to turn back to God. And I'm close with this. He realized the temple had been messed up. He said, I want the Bible. He brought the priest back. He told the priest, go in, cleanse the temple, start praying, and let's see the power of God starting to flow. So if you'll read 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 1 through 11, you'll see what Hezekiah realized. The power of God to come back into Israel, where they were so great, needed people to get back into the temple and pray. But part of that praying part was saying, you can pray, but before you pray, you need to purify your tongues. And even as Jim was praying in the back, Lord, I come here a sinner, cleanse me, purify me, wash me. That's where it goes back with Chronicles when Solomon had the temple dedicated. God spoke, if my people, which are called by my name, humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their lands. He will bring revival. I don't know about you, but I want revival. This world is crying out for revival. Not same status quo. We need revival in our own personal lives. We need revival in our own church. We say, Lord, we want the fire of God falling in our life. And that will come as we get into our prayer closets and we seek the face of God, saying, Lord, here's the answer. Here's the pinnacle. Here's where the power comes when I talk to you, when I listen to you, and I leave knowing that you've heard me. And what I love is what Jesus said. Father, I know you always hear me. And Jesus said, I've given you who believe in my name, washed by my blood, given a new born-again experience, I've given you the same privilege. That every time you speak, you hear us. I love the song by Mercy Me that says, no word of God speak. And I'm saying, Lord, I need to hear your voice. Like you call Sam, I need to hear you. I need to listen to that still small voice. If you're speaking, for some reason, I stopped hearing. But I want to hear. I want revival. I want revival in my heart, in my spirit, in fire. And I believe it comes from prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have given us everything that we need in Jesus Christ. You have empowered us by your word and by your spirit. Lord, you have given us the privilege to be a people that are dynamic, different, unique in this world that is evil. And I pray for this congregation, I pray for each individual, I pray for myself, that Lord, somehow, some way, that as we reflect on prayer, that it not just be rote and not be something we think we should do, but Lord, I pray you put a fire in our hearts that we know that we can't survive without it. I pray, Lord God, that you have a new movement in each one of our homes and lives, that prayer becomes a priority in our lives. Help us, Lord God, to remove all that pride, thinking we can do it, and put us in a place of utter dependence on you, that allow us, Lord God, to believe that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by your spirit that we transform. Bring us to prayer.